You know, I still have to get used to this weather here where people freak out with a little ice and snow. It's just so strange to me. But even though I have to admit, I went to pick up Jessie and my daughter, and the roads were really slick out there. We hit some spots just going out towards the power plant out there. So be careful. Hopefully by the time we get out, the weather should go up and the road should clear up, at least according to my phone this morning. But we'll see what happens there. We had a good time at our Valentine's for Seniors that we did yesterday. And I'm glad some of us came because they wouldn't have had any Valentine's for Seniors. And so we had a good time. We had some pictures. You have some pictures there, Anthony, did he put up there for me? Okay, I made some homemade chocolate chip cookies, which Mark and Kelton did not like at all. And you can show the next one there. Okay, Stephanie, sorry, I should have asked your permission, but she still looks good. Okay. Oh, Braxton, he didn't know what to do there, huh? Okay, thank you. So we had a good time. Good job, Braxton. I kept thinking he's 15 months. But we had a good time. We did about 40 cards. They're going to be taking them out to their meal on wheels, and they're going to take the cards out to some of the senior citizens that come there to Sun Valley Community Center. And my daughter wrote something on the back I thought was very interesting on the back of her card. Have you guys heard that the movie Constipation is coming out? You ever hear about that movie? Seriously, it's coming out, but the only problem is it hasn't come out yet. So Olivia was looking up jokes and putting them on the back of the Valentine's card. I thought that was really, I liked that one. I thought that was kind of a fun one. So thanks for those that are coming out. And as we look for opportunities, I connected really well with Taylor. And she's a lady that works there at Sun Valley Community Center. And she does alternative recreation. You ever hear that? Instead of, like, you know, I think of my wife as an OT, and she teaches elderly who get old how to do everyday things because they can't do it like we did when you're younger. Well, she does that with handicapped. Like, she's done Special Olympics, and she helps people that she even taught at the last place she was at some guy to shoot, to use a bow and arrow, and he was blind. That's her passion. And it was great. I had a really fun connection with her yesterday as we're there, as the point of what we're doing is to get out there and get to know people who are not in our church. And I was telling one of the parents when I was there, or one of the ladies, I saw some elder ladies, I said, you know, anything to get my kids off the Xbox or off electronics that morning. I want my kids to know that there are people that need to know Jesus. Let's give to our community. And I know for my wife and I, we had a great time, went home after that. The kids had a fun time, and we're ready to get home and get on some electronics afterwards. Well, let's pray as we get into God's word today that he would speak to us. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your presence today. Thank you that you're here. Thank you, God, that we are your child, not because of who we are, but because of who you are. And I pray, Father, today, Lord, as we get into your word is living, speak to us those things that you want to say to us. In the midst of our distractions and our planning for this afternoon, all these thoughts that flood into our mind, Lord, we bring our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Jesus. And Lord, we want to hear your word, and we want to live your word today. Speak to us through your living word. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah 1, and I'm going to begin at verse 1. We today, I think it's the 28th day of our 40-day prayer challenge. And as I've been going over the last month over different prayers of the Bible, and we're going to go over another bold prayer of the Bible, because in 2019, we are going to be bold in our prayers. We're going to ask God. We're not going to be ashamed, and we're just going to ask him to do incredible things, because God wants us to ask him to do things that only he can do. So Nehemiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, says, "The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Shivlev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with me from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, 'The survivals who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire.' So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven." Here we are introduced to the man Nehemiah. He was a Jew who was a cupbearer to the Persian king Artaxerxes. And he was also like many of the Jews and foreigners who were in a far country, who were brought by Babylon, and Babylon from Persian. And we have these Jews that were dispersed throughout the different aspects of the known world. As you may remember, after Solomon died, there was Israel, and it was divided after Solomon into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And so there was a division that took place after Solomon. And as time went by, people turned away from God and they turned to idols. And finally, the northern kingdom of the 10 tribes of Israel, they were defeated by Assyria and they were taken into captivity. They were taken from their home and they were dispersed in a foreign country. Yet Judah survived for some time. But eventually, Jerusalem and the people there, and if you look at the history, the kings followed God. They turned away from God. It seemed like they turned away from God more than they followed God. And you look at the different kings, even of Israel at that time as well, before they were taken into captivity, you see them, oh, they followed God. Oh, they turned from God and they turned to idols and all these different things. And that happened not only in the northern kingdom, but in the southern kingdom down in Judah and Jerusalem. So God caused the nation of Babylon to come in and take those, destroyed the walls of Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and they took people from there and they transplanted them into Babylon. Now we come to the present passage. Nehemiah is in a foreign land and he's there as a cupbearer to the king Artaxerxes, and then what happens? His brother comes with some men who just came from Judah, and he just asks a simple question. How are they doing? Those who escaped captivity when Nebuchadnezzar came, those who escaped, how are my brothers there? How are they holding up? Well, the news was not very good. And as his brother and those men said, you know, the people there are distressed. They're persecuted. They're under reproach. The wall, and in one sense, he's really telling them, because remember, the wall's broken down. Their protection is gone. The gates have been burned with fire. The temple's been burned. The people have no protection. And Nehemiah hits his heart, the desperate need of God's people. His heart is broken. He begins to weep. He begins to mourn. He begins to pray. And he begins to fast because he realizes the state of his people and what they're going through. In the midst of desperation, in the midst of a need, he begins to pray. He turns to God. How many of us are in a desperate place today? How many of us, when we are in a desperate place, do we run to God? Maybe you've wandered from God and you feel like your life is becoming like shambles. You ever get to that place when life just doesn't seem to be going like it should and thing after thing is just thrown into your life? Or maybe you've been overcome by life's obstacles at work and you don't know where to turn. Maybe you feel overcome by your job or a family situation or something that's going on with your children. Your future seems uncertain. What will you do? Will you be like Nehemiah? Will you begin to pray and seek God in your place of desperation? Or will we do what so many people do outside, and I will say also inside the church? People try to find answers without God. They turn first to their friends and family. Or if that doesn't work out, they turn to drugs or drinking to cope with the overwhelming pressures around them. Are you at that place today? I don't know how many times Di and I have gone through stuff, if it's with our kids, my wife's health, when she had C. diff for those 3 to 4 months on and off last year. Who did we turn to? And at times we look at our lives, we're like, we're talking about things later, we're like, why didn't we turn to God first? Why did I have to call my brother or sister and tell them what's going on? Why not first turn to God? But how often we turn to other things that cannot help us, that truly cannot take us from that place of desperation to God. If that describes you today, I want to encourage you. When you face a crisis and God seems so far away, don't give up. Take time. Get your heart right with God. Take time to reconnect with him. Take time to be silent. You ever do that? And I know sometimes, and I don't want to put men and women, you know, I know there's a difference between men and women, and I don't want to put women all in the same boat. But if my wife could go like this, click and turn off her brain at times, she would love to. Wouldn't you, love? You ever feel sometimes your mind gets so bombarded that God seems so distant because maybe you've wandered, you've struggled, you've lost sight? That if you just take time, go down to the park, be silent, open God's word to reconnect with God in your place of desperation. If you begin to do that, those voices will begin to fade. My brother Jeff leads teams to Italy. He's doing one, I think, to Montana. And he's actually coming in a couple weeks. He'll be staying with us for 3 or 4 days. And he's going to be speaking at the African church. I got him connected over there. And but as he does is he takes people to like Italy, he takes couples and whatever, and he'll take them off. And he's had times where you do silent retreats where you just go out, and you go out and have silence with God. You just get away with God. And you know what, when you do that, I'll tell you, the first part of the day is so hard. You don't take your phone. Summer would go through withdrawals, right? Just like my kids would go through withdrawals, I'm teasing her. Because my kids, you take the cell phone away for like, or the TV for half a day. Oh no! You take all that away and you begin to be quiet. First, it's hard. But later in the day, your mind becomes calm and God can speak. So if you're at the place of desperation today, I want to challenge you. Don't give up. Keep praying. Turn to God first. Take time to be quiet. Because do you realize today that God allows hardship in our lives to get our attention? I'm not saying he always just does it for that reason. But he does it many times because we're wandering over here. And he's like saying, hey, 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 hey. And we're going off. So he allows something into our life. Oh, and he wants us to come running to him. But many of us run to other things. We should look at life's difficulties as God's expression of love. I don't do that. I hate hardship. I don't like it. But if God, who loves me, and it filters through God's hands of love, he has a purpose, even though we may not see it. So what will you do when you face a desperate place or a place of crisis? Will you turn to God or will you turn to the world? And as we saw with Nehemiah, when he faced a desperation of people he knew and he loved, his people, his city that has once been destroyed, his homeland, He was distressed. He ran to God and he prayed. And let's look at the bold prayer of Nehemiah in verse 5. Listen as we go through this incredible prayer. I'm going to start in verse 4 again. So it was one, when he heard these words, he sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, oh, I pray, Lord God of heaven, oh, great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you, both of my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest parts of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I've chosen as a dwelling place for my name. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Here we see him as he's weeping, he's been praying, he cries out this incredible prayer to God. A prayer of boldness, a bold prayer of Nehemiah. And what's amazing is God answered that prayer. It was a prayer he prayed, and God answered that prayer. Was the answer immediately? No. He started praying in the month of Chivlev, which falls around our November, December on our calendar. And about 4 months later, in the month of Nisan, God answered and began to answer his request. Was it the full answer immediately? No. But God began to unfold the answer to that prayer. When we pray, let's pray through. Let's just not pray it for a week or two in our time of stress. It's still there. It's unanswered. Let's keep praying. Let's pray through, as they say. Let's pray through for the long haul. How many of us would go on a vacation and your tire pops? Up, I'm going home. Let's pray for the long haul. Let's go for it. Let's bombard God with our needs. Pray until God answers. God answered Nehemiah's prayer. And then if you turn your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 2, you'll see what God begins to do in Nehemiah 2, beginning in verse 1. Let me just read the 8 verses here. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of the king Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city and the place of my father's tombs lie in waste and its gates are burned with fire? Then the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tomb, that I may rebuild it. Then the king said to me, and the queen also sitting beside him, how long will your journey be, and when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I sent him, and to set a time. Furthermore, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they may permit me to pass through till I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that they may give me timber and to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. So you see here, he's serving the king wine. He's sad. It's still weighing. He's been praying and fasting for months over the situation. He's sad, and the king notices, and it freaks him out. He's serving a king. At one word of disappointment, he's dead. And so what does he do? He gets fearful. He knows I'm going to tell what's going on. And he pours out his heart before the king. And to his surprise, the king said to him, "What do you request? What do you ask of me? What do you want, Nehemiah? You're sad right now, you told me. What do you want?" And I love what it said in verse 4 of chapter 2. It says, "So I prayed to the God of heaven." Did he just get up there and get on his knees and start praying? Oh, Lord, I just... This is a quick prayer. All of a sudden, what do you request of me? Give me wisdom. Nope. I mean, he's in it. It's a quick prayer in a place when the king, "What do you request of me?" Something unexpected. You ever pray a quick prayer? Something unexpected happens. You can't get down in the middle of your school or work and, "Oh, Lord, I just pray." You pray a God, "Give me wisdom. I need help here." You're faced with a temptation. "Oh, Lord, I need you." We've all done quick prayers. You're taking a test. "Oh, God, please help me. Help me, even though I'm not studied. Please help me." Right? We've all had quick prayers. But I want to say one thing about quick prayers here. Many of us only do quick prayers. And that's why God doesn't answer our prayers. All we do is quick prayers. They last for 2 minutes, a second, it's gone. Quick prayer. God desires relationship. Prayer is a way to connect to God. When we don't pray except quick prayers, it's like a child calling their parent only when they have a need. "Oh, yeah, I've heard, haven't you heard that before? Oh, yeah, my Bobby called me. Oh, he wanted something." God desires us to have quick prayers. But beyond that, he desires relationship. When we have relationship and we're building that through prayer, he loves our quick prayers. But when you only do quick prayers because it's an emergency and something happens, "Oh, God, just answer my prayer," because we don't pray. Yes, there's prayer without ceasing. That's what it means, is going through the day and just talking to God. But we don't have relationship. God wants relationship with us. And then he wants prayer, and he wants the quick prayers. He wants everything. But many of us just say quick prayers in a time of emergency, and we wonder why God doesn't answer our prayers. And we see this with Nehemiah. He did a quick prayer after months of prayer before God. And then we see Nehemiah asking bold things from the king. Not only, "Hey, will you let me go and rebuild the wall?" Because if you look, there's Ezra who goes and builds the temple and restores worship in Jerusalem. Then there's Nehemiah, all at the same time. He's building the wall. He goes and he first decides to build the wall around Jerusalem to protect his people. But when the king says, okay, how long is it going to take? If the queen's there, they're planning out how long he'll be there and all this. He gets this boldness. And he comes, okay, he asks, okay, here it is. Will you send me a letter too? Will you not only let me go, will you send me a letter to the governor that they'll let me go through safely? I'll get there safely and they won't persecute me and they won't harm me on the way. Send me a letter. Okay. And will you send me a letter so they'll give me wood? He's going for it. He's like, God's with me. I know it. He's answering my prayer and I'm being bold and I'm going to ask even beyond anything I've imagined. And you begin to ask and ask in boldness. Prayer and God beginning to answer the prayer gave him boldness to ask even more. And God answered his prayer. And it says in verse 8, in Nehemiah 2, verse 8, and the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. So we see that God answered Nehemiah's prayer even more than he imagined. What can we, as we learn to pray, as we're learning to pray in this 40-day prayer challenge that we're in, how many would say, I want God to answer my prayers? Oh, heck. You don't want God to answer your prayers? I want God to answer my prayers. So let's learn from a prayer that God answered so we can learn to pray. First, from Nehemiah's prayer, in verse 1, we could learn something here. In Nehemiah 1:1, it says, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. He took time before he jumped into his prayer need. He took time to remember God. Oh, Lord, God of heaven, oh, Lord, great and awesome God, he's focusing, he's remembering who this God is that he's coming before. And not only that, we'll see, he begins, he's almost saying, God, you are the God, a covenant God. You're like, he's really saying, you are a promise keeper God. You are great and awesome. You created heaven, but you're God of covenant. You're God of relationship. You're God who keeps your word. He remembers, he begins to take time to remember God. I think when we pray, we rush too quickly. Oh, Lord, I need this. I need this. I need this. That's our prayer time. Next time, oh, God, I need this. I need this. We kind of go through, God, I need this. I need this. Do we take time to remember the God that we come to? Do we remember? You know, I've been asking God for me personally. I'm like, God, my view of you is just so human, so small. Open my eyes to who I'm praying with. We need to be remembered who God is and his power, because when our view of God is small, our prayer requests of God are small. When our view of God is big, our prayers of God are big. How are your prayers? Doesn't that gauge who you are? What kind of prayers do you pray determine how you view God? Wow, it makes me think, wow. I want my God, I want God to open my eyes to who he is, because it would change my prayer life. Maybe like the prayer we talked about when Moses says, Lord, please show me your glory. We need to be praying that and praying that and praying that, that God will open our eyes so that will transform the way we pray. Take time. Before you jump into anything, just remember who you're coming to. Remember God. The second thing we could learn from this prayer is when we pray, let's make our intentions clear to God. Why are we praying? Do I pray just because I have to? Here, you see, when he begins to pray here, he really says, oh God, at the very beginning, he says, oh God, please let your ear be attentive and your ears open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now day and night for the children of your servant. God, I'm coming here today because I want you to hear and open. I want you to see what's going on. I want you to answer my prayer. Do we come to prayer with that expectation? Do we come to prayer almost with that mindset? I'm coming to this God I'm remembering, and why do I come? I'm coming because, God, I want you to answer. How little is our faith? Jesus said, your faith is a mustard seed, a little dinky seed. You have that much faith, you can move mountains. When we come to God, do you come with your intentions clear? Why are you coming? When we pray, we want God to notice our prayers. He knows it. He does. He's God. He knows everything. But it's kind of for us. God, this is why I'm here today. I want to encounter you. One thing I pray before I pray most of my prayers is one prayer at the beginning of my prayer time. Lord, I want to know you for you. I want God to know. I want to know you for you. I just don't want to know you just because what you're going to give me. Lord, I want to know you. It's one of my first prayers. Anytime I go into prayers, God, I want to know you for you. I want to know you more. That's my first prayer request, because if I can know you more, I have relationship with you. It will change my prayer life. When you pray, do you believe that God hears you? Do you believe when you pray that God will answer your prayer? Do you believe that God will answer all your prayers? Because remember, there's different kinds of way that God answers prayer. He may say no. He may say yes, and I'll do this when that he'll choose when he wants to do it. He can also say wait and have it happen later. In some way, God always answers our prayers. We just have to be okay with the way he answers it. Do you come with God? Do you let your intentions know, I'm coming, God, hear me today. I come before you. He says, I want you to hear my prayer. The third thing we could learn from this, as we look here, we see that Nehemiah begins to confess his sins, himself and the sins of his people. If we want God to be attentive to our prayers, if we want God to answer our prayers like he did Nehemiah, we need to take time to get right with God. When you come in your prayer time, do you first remember God? Do you make your intentions clear? I'm coming, God, because I want you to hear me. And third, do you come and take time to get reconnected, to take time to do inventory? Look at your life. God, is there anything in my life holding me away from you? And as God brings it to your mind, begin to confess it to him. Lord, that's right. I sinned. I ask you to cleanse me and forgive me. Yes, Lord, I did that. And I encourage you, if you do that, don't get stressed about it. Don't try to search. So I was at places in my life before I'd go through and try to find it. Oh no, there's sin in my life. It's something and I'm trying to look for. Don't worry about that. Just ask God. By his Spirit, say, Lord, if there's anything in my life that's holding me from you, I ask that you show it to me. Wait. Take some time to be quiet. Just wait. And when he brings things to your mind, Lord, I agree with that. It's sin. I ask you to forgive me in Jesus' name. I confess it. It is wrong. There's times that I know there's areas in my life that hold me back from God, but I'm not ready for it yet, and I don't need to try to dig it up. God will bring it up, and when you start spending time with him, he will bring it up at the right time when I'm ready to hear it. Don't try to dig. Don't stress out. Just come to God. God, show me. When he shows it, confess it, and say, Lord, by your Spirit, give me the strength not to do it again, and go on. For Scripture says in 1 John 1:9, that if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. To cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So when you come to God, you come to God to remember him. You come, you tell him what your expectations are. Two, you come, you take a moment to pray and get your life with God. And four, you remind God of his promises. Nehemiah here reminds God of what he promised to Moses, and we see that in verse 9 of Nehemiah 1, verse 9. But if you will return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you are cast out to the farthest parts of heaven, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I've chosen as a dwelling place for your name. He brings up what Moses said when people would turn from God and you would come back, I'd bring my people back to the land. He was reminding God, and he made that promise even today, even through Solomon, when Solomon was committing the temple to God about, you know, people turned from me, there's all these promises that people turned from God, but God turned to them from the people of Israel, that he would do something, bring them back to the land. God remembered a promise, and he brought it to God's attention. God cannot lie. So when you go and you begin to look at the promises, if you don't say what promises of God, just look up and go online. If you have online, get the book, order a book, God's promises. Look at the promises. Take those promises that God, you said this. I ask that you answer because I know you promised it. You cannot lie. I come before you and I ask you to answer it. Remind God of his promises. You know, in Jeremiah 3, here's an example. Jeremiah 33:3 says this. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. That's awesome. You know what it says in Corinthians? All the promises of God are yes in Christ. Even though this is a promise you see in the Old Testament, I believe it's our promises in Jesus Christ. I will answer, if you call upon, I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Lord, I pray that you show me your will for my life. I call upon you today that you pour forth your spirit upon Grace Cross Church. I pray to God and you say, God, your word says this. Call upon me and I'll show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Grab to the promises of God. Another example is Proverbs 3 verses 5 to 6 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. God, you promised to guide me. Lord, I don't know if I should take this job or not, but Lord, your word says you will guide me. God, your word in Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says this. I take hold of that. Lord, guide me today and believe him and see what he will do. Begin to pray. Remind God of his promises. And here's another example in Philippians 4, 6 to 7 says this. Be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, this is a promise that I've been praying for Diana, for Crystal, and for Dylan, that they would have their minds, that they would have the peace of God to guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Remember that request at the beginning of a 40-day challenge? They said they struggle with anxiety. It is not God's will for us to be overcome by anxiety. You ask a question afterwards. Oh, what is it, Simon? So we could be praying for that for you. It's not God's will that we just let those things. It's not, well, it says here. He promised it here that we'll have peace. I'm not saying he's going to remove everything we go through, but he can give us a strength through his spirit to overcome it, to fight through it. I've been praying for freedom and victory for those. We're going to pray through. So pray the promises of God. You know one promise that isn't necessarily a promise here, I pray? My brother Gene and my brother Steve do not know Jesus. But I remember my mom, when she was alive, told me, said, the Lord told me that all my children would come to know him. And my mom knew the Lord, so I just, in my prayer, say, Lord, remember what you said to my mom so long ago, that all her children would come to know him. That would have to be God, because those two, it'd have to be God. Is anything too hard for God, creator of heaven and earth? He's a universe in the palm of his hand. It is nothing before him. And then the last one, what can we learn from this prayer? Pray bold prayers. In verse 11, it says this, let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant mercy in the sight of this man. What is he talking about? Nia is asking for God's blessing to move the heart of the Persian king, that God would move his heart. He's asking God to move a kingdom, to approve, and to do something for him. Let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant mercy in the sight of this man. God changed the heart of the king. What a bold prayer. A kingdom was moved on behalf of Israel people from a man who prayed a bold prayer, began to be unfolded in answer to the prayer 4 months later. And God came and began, as you look at Ezra and Nehemiah, began to rebuild that wall. The wall was built. They began to build the temple, and the temple was built in Ezra. During this 40-day prayer challenge, what bold prayers will you ask of God? Remember, small prayers means your view of God is small. Big prayers show you that your view of God is big. If your view of God is small, ask God to expand it during this time. God, open my eyes. And as he begins to open, and we spend time in his word and get to know him, and our eyes begin to open, our prayers will grow. Will grow. Take time when you pray. We have another, 11 or so days. When we pray, or 12 days, when we pray, you guys, let's remember God. Let's let him know our intentions, why we come there. Let's take time to let God search our hearts, get right back relationship with him. If there's sin, that's bringing separation. Take time to remind God of his promises. Take time to be bold in your prayers. If you have the worship team come forward. You guys, today, we have 12 more days of prayer. I'm hoping that these 12 days of prayer go beyond the 40 days of prayer. You guys, let's pray boldly in 2019. Let's pray that God move. So we're going to have a song. Let's just come before the Lord today. There's something that's holding you back. Take time to confess it before God. But let's worship the Lord before we worship him in giving to the Great Commission Fund today. So let's take time to get our heart right with God. Let's worship him in the song. And then at the end of the song, we'll be taking up an offering, and then we will close in prayer.